Jeremiah 52. Our text for this evening is the verse 31. The lesser known that we want to consider tonight is this man Jehoiakim. We read in verse 31, "And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 5th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the 1st year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison." From prison to prince. From prison to prince. The prison would have been a dark and gloomy place. A place where hope had long since died. No doubt throughout the hours of daylight, merciless Babylonian guards would have enforced the rigors of hard labor on the prisoners. And throughout the night, weary prisoners were alone, very alone with their memories and their thoughts. One such prisoner was a man who was once king of Judah, Jehoiakim, was once a prince, but now a prisoner, and as I've just read, a prisoner for 37 years. 37 years. Year after year, he had languished in his prison cell. Youth had given place to middle age. And now, he grew old before his time. No doubt, there were times when he would have welcomed death. For nothing could be worse than being in bondage in Babylon, there, spending 37 years in a Babylonian dungeon. Then the day came when the evil individual who put him there came to the end of his days. And that individual, Nebuchadnezzar, died. And the man who succeeded him was a son called Evil-Merodach. Contrary to his name, he had compassion on Jehoiakim and indeed released him from prison after those 37 years where his father basically had forgotten all about him. When we look at this lesser known and the circumstances surrounding him, we see a wonderful foreshadowing of the gospel story. For here we see how a prisoner became a prince. And that prisoner, of course, was Jehoiakim. So as we look at Jehoiakim tonight, I want first of all to consider the prisoner. Jehoiakim, the prisoner. The first thing we learn about Jehoiakim, the prisoner, is his sinfulness. Now you will find whenever you read about the kings of the Old Testament that the God of heaven will indicate whether they have done good or evil in his sight. So we turn over then to 2 Kings, the chapter 24. 2 Kings 24. And there we read in verse 8. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter Elnathan of Jerusalem. And here it is. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. 18 years of age. And it is recorded by the God of heaven that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. 18. And yet he was already sold out to sin. Notice, there was no fear of God in the heart of this young man, because he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He was bold and brass with his sinful ways. But we notice further where he learned this wickedness. He evidently followed the example of his father. For we read, he was wicked ways were according to all that his father had done. And oh, how many 18-year-olds are already today sold out to sin and live as if there is no God, no God to meet, no judgment, no hell. 18 years of age already sold out to sin. And many have followed the example of their father. Remember one day, back in Ulster, sitting outside in my car outside a store. It was near Christmas time. There was snow on the ground. As I sat in the car, a man walked past the car on the footpath. He was rather unsteady on his feet. He had in each hand a crate of alcohol. And as he staggered down the street, of course he left his footprint in the snow. And I continued to look at him. Right behind him was a young lad, all probability his son. And the young lad that put his feet in the footprints of his father, those footprints that were left in the snow. And there was a father, no doubt going home, with 2 crates of alcohol, and the young lad following in his father's footsteps. I remember thinking about that young lad. What hope would that young lad have in life as he would go home with a drunken father and sit and watch him drink that alcohol? There, that young lad, no doubt, when he would get older, would follow the example of his dad. That was the case here with Jehoiakim. What hope would this 18-year-old lad have if he followed the footsteps of his father? He followed the example a bad example of a wicked individual. You know, Solomon gives good advice. He's given good advice in many ways. But in Proverbs 1, verses 10 and 15, we read these words, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Refrain thy foot from their path. Good, sound advice that Solomon gave. So all young people, Jehoiakim would have done well to have followed that advice. But he followed the ways of a father who was wicked. Wicked beyond belief. So we have considered his sinfulness. One is to look now at his surrender. Unfortunately, Jehoiakim offered no resistance to the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar. Instead, he surrendered to him completely when he came to take him captive. Again, 2 Kings 24, verse 11 and 12. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, went out to him. He and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. He didn't try to escape. He actually went out to the king of Babylon and surrendered to him. Offered no resistance at all. You know, whenever you look at this incident, he's a picture. Jehoiakim is a picture of the sinner who yields to every temptation put before them by the devil. They offer no resistance because he promises them so much. Oh, doesn't he promise the pleasures of sin? But they're only for a season. The pleasures of sin for a season. And for those pleasures, for a relatively short time, the pleasures of sin, they're willing to surrender all. You think of those, because of sin in their lives, they've surrendered position. You think of those, because of their love of sin, and maybe drink or drugs, they have surrendered a good name. And because of the pleasures of sin that they crave after, they have made themselves bankrupt. I told you before about a man, or the wife of a man, who stayed behind at a meeting to get saved, and she said, "My husband has drunk his way through 2 farms. And he was bankrupt. All that he had, he spent on alcohol." Left himself bankrupt for the pleasures of sin. Yes, the greatest crime of all, never mind position or power or a good name, the greatest crime of all is when a man or a woman, for the pleasures of sin, lose their soul in a lost eternity. That's a high price to pay. They lose their soul. For the wages of sin is death. The worst paid workers, they never go on strike. The wages of sin is death. But Paul didn't stop there. Paul said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. You notice, Satan is a hard taskmaster. The wages of sin is death. That's the wages he pays. Dying in sin. But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is not earned, or it's not worked for. It is a gift. Now, when you receive a gift, it means the person who's given the gift has already paid for it. The Lord Jesus presents the sinners a gift that he has paid for. There in that place called Calvary, he's paid for it with his own blood, as we noted this morning. That was the price he paid for that gift of eternal life. As well as his sinfulness and his surrender, many surrender themselves to the wickedness and the sinfulness of this world, offer no resistance at all. The sinfulness, the surrender, you have his sentence. When Israel was overtaken by the Babylonians and carried away captive into Babylon, Jehoiakim was one of them. And again we read in 2 Kings 24, verse 15, and he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon. And for 37 long years, he languished in a dull, damp, dark Babylonian prison. 37 years. A place from where no one would escape. How this typifies for us the plight of all sinners. The plight of all sinners. For the devil has them bound and fettered in the prison of sin. And they cannot escape. There is no way out. There is no escaping. For they don't have the strength or the power to break out of this prison that the devil has them in. As far as Jehoiakim was concerned, the king of Babylon had sentenced him to life. He had put him in prison and, as it were, thrown away the key. There was no hope for him. For sinners, Satan has them for life. It's a life sentence. Bound and fettered by sin, by the devil. There is no way of escape. There's only one person. Think of it. Only one person can cause the sinner to escape out of Satan's prison. Only one person who can break those chains. And that one person is Christ. And he alone is able to break the power of canceled sin and set the prisoner free. His blood can make the thyless clean. His blood avails for me and you. Only Christ. Satan has no answer to the sin cleansing, devil defeating power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And his blood, praise the Lord, can set the prisoner free. That's what the Lord himself has said. John 8, verse 36. The Lord Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Free indeed. Free from the power of the devil. Free from the power of sin. Free from that prison. Free from those chains that bind. Christ can set you free. So we've noticed the prisoner. Let us notice the pardon regarding Jehoiakim. We notice the pardon. We see that when Nebuchadnezzar came to the throne there in Babylon, he sought to help Jehoiakim. Notice first of all his favor. Even Merodach's father showed no mercy to Jehoiakim. Locked him up, threw away the key. 37 years he spent in prison. But when Merodach came to the throne, he showed Jehoiakim favor. He favored this prisoner. We're told in verse 31, our text, he lifted up the head of Jehoiakim. That's a good expression, applying it to Jehoiakim. 37 years in prison. There is no doubt he would have been very down and downcast. He was a defeated individual. But when Merodach came to the throne, we're told he lifted up his head. And that speaks to me of hope. He gave Jehoiakim hope. He lifted up his head, head that had been down. He lifted up his head. And how wonderfully this shows us the one who is able to give hope to those who are prisoners to sin. That one is Christ, and Christ alone is able and will give hope to that man or that woman who've been imprisoned by Satan and chained by sin. He'll lift up your head. Chains that man and women have tried to break themselves, but have found it impossible. Time without number, they've tried to break their habits, filthy habits, sinful habits, but they've failed. Only Christ can give them hope of breaking those things that chain them to those evil, sinful ways and evil and sinful habits. If only the men and women of today would look to Christ. He gives them hope. And oh, there are many in this world today and they have no hope. That's maybe how they feel even tonight. They feel hopeless. But there's hope in Christ. There is. He is the God of hope. Psalm 130, verse 7. The psalmist says, hope in the Lord. There you have it. Hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. There's where the hope is. Redemption. Isn't that what the imprisoned, chained, fettered sinner needs? Needs redemption. That's where their hope is. Because, as Paul has said, there are many today and they have no hope, and they are without God in this world, Ephesians 2 and 12. Having no hope and without God in the world. You see, if you don't have God, you have no hope. If you don't have Christ, there is no hope. Christ can lift up the head. He can lift up the head of the downcast. He can lift up the head of that poor individual who feels there's no hope for them. Find in Titus 1 and verse 2. There we read, the Lord can give hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's a long-standing promise. Promise of eternal life that was given before the world began. And oh, how many have taken up that promise. How many have claimed that promise and made Christ their hope and experienced redemption that the Lord purchased for them at Calvary. He was free. He was favored. Then we notice he was freed. He was set free. We are told that the king brought him out of prison. Think of it. After 37 years, he was brought out of prison and set free. I'm sure Jehoiakim would have forgotten really what freedom was like. But I think of those today who have never known freedom. They've never known freedom. They're still in the prison house of the devil. They're still chained to their sin and their evil ways and their evil habits. They're still chained. They're still in prison. They've never known freedom. Once again, there's only one person who can set the prisoner free, and that's Christ. He's the one who is able to set the prisoner free. Praise his name. Remember what Paul said? Paul said, any man that is in Christ, old things, there's the old habits, the old ways, the old sinful ways, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's what the Lord is able to do. He's able to wash away the old things and the old ways. And he's able to make all things new. Someone described it as a new start in life. But really it's not. It's a new life to start with. There's a difference. And here we see in God's word that the Lord Jesus gives all who come to him and receive him as Savior and are set free by Christ They're given a new life. Life eternal. Life everlasting. Paul says in Galatians 5 verse 1, Stand fast therefore in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Free. We're set free. The Lord brings the sinner out of that prison. The Lord breaks the power of cancel sin and sets the prisoner free. He's the only one can sever those chains and set the prisoner free. As well as him being favored, as well as him being freed, we notice his fitting. His fitting. There are a number of things we'd love to take time to look at here. But we notice Jehoiakim certainly was well favored by the king of Babylon when he gained his freedom from prison. We're told that he spake kindly unto him. Why, that was a change. Nebuchadnezzar would not have spoken kindly to him. But Merodach, we're told, spoke kindly to him. Sure isn't that what the prisoner of sin experiences when Christ sets him free? What do we begin to do when the Lord saves us? We get into his word. And we get into this word and the Lord speaks kindly to us. We get a word each day from the Lord. And from that day forth, when the Lord brought us out of prison, he has spoken kindly to us and does so to all whom he sets free. As well as that, see what else he did for Jehoiakim. We're told in the verse 31, and it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 12th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out, forth out of prison, spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. And so he set him on a throne that was higher than all the surrounding kings of Babylon. He set him on a throne. This reminds us again what the Lord Jesus has done for us. He set us free. He's liberated our soul. Revelation 22 and 5 tells us we shall reign. And they shall reign forever and ever. We shall reign with Christ. Reign with Christ in heaven. He brought us out of prison. And sure he has made us priests and princes and kings unto God. But that's not all. If you look through those verses from 31 to 34, you can look at the things that Merodach did for Jehoiakim. I looked at them and counted them carefully. He did 7 things for Jehoiakim. He lifted up his head. He brought him forth out of prison. spake kindly to him, set his throne above the thrones of the kings that were with him in Babylon, changed his prison garments, and did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Seven things. We know what the number seven in the Bible means. It means perfection, or it means completion. And what do we find here? That the Lord, or the king, gave to Jehoiakim, supplied his need, and all that he had was complete. There was nothing to be added to it. Doesn't that teach us about our salvation? It is complete. Nothing to be added to it. Then the dear Savior cried from the cross, "It is finished." And if it's finished by Christ, we don't need to add to it. Nothing to be done. And all that the Lord has done for us is complete. I want you to notice also that he gave in verse 33, he changed his prison garments. He changed his prison garments. He gave him new garments. And that brings us again to the Lord. When we got saved, what did the Lord do? He took away our filthy garments. And he gave us a new garment. He took away our prison garments. And he gave us a garment like his own. He gave us a robe of his own righteousness. He took away the prison garments and he gave us a beautiful robe. And when God looks upon us, what does he see? No, he doesn't see those old sinful, filthy rags of our sin and our self-righteousness. No, he sees the robe of Christ. We are clothed and robed in the righteousness of Christ. As we read in Romans 4, verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of that man unto whom God, listen, imputeth righteousness without works. He imputes to us his righteousness and received by faith. That's how we stand before God tonight. That's how everyone who's been brought out of the prison house of sin has been washed in the blood. That's how we stand before God, clothed in the righteousness of God's dear Son. Praise his name. So we've considered the prisoner. We've considered the pardon. That leads us finally to consider the provision. The provision. After being set free from prison, Jehoiakim was well provided for. It's amazing We're told in verse 34, before his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon. Every day a portion, until the day of his death, all the days of his life. We've already pointed out, it was a complete provision. We've noted the seven things that the king gave to Jehoiakim. It's complete. Sure, when you think of what the Lord has given us and all that the Lord has done for us, it's all complete. All that the Lord has done for us, as we sang tonight, complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. And he has cared for us every day since that day he brought us out of the prison house of sin. Not only is it a complete provision, but it's a continual provision. Is that what we read in verse 34? And for his diet, there was continual diet given him of the king of Babylon. Continual. Every day, a portion until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Jehoiakim was told that he would be provided for until the day of his death, all the days of his life. We can take that as coming from the Lord himself, as we ever been a day when the Lord has failed us in that. Has he supplied all our need according to his riches and glory? There's not a saint, there's not a child of God that has gone through life with their hand in the hand of the Savior, that has ever had a need that the Lord wasn't able to meet. I want to read the testimony of one person who experienced that. The testimony of David. Listen to what David said. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Said from his youth to his old age, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. That's his testimony. It's the testimony of a man who proved the Lord is able to meet all our needs according to his riches and glory. And there for Jehoiakim, he was given a portion, he was given a diet, every day a portion on the day of his death, all the days of his life. And think of those poor souls who know not Christ. They're still languishing in the prison house of the devil, still chained to their sin. We pray the Lord even tonight will set them free. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow and pray. Our dear Lord and loving God, we thank thee for the lessons that we find in thy word that can apply to everyday life. We can follow thy word And all our ways acknowledge thee, Lord. And thou shalt direct our paths. We know, Lord, thou wilt never lead us astray. Thy Lord will always lead us on the right path. Dear Lord, I pray even tonight, wherever individuals are listening, and if perhaps they're still in the prison house of sin, Lord, I pray they might look to Christ. He'll lift up their head. He'll give them hope. He is their hope. And He will set them free. And him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Dear Lord, we commit ourselves to thee throughout this week. Keep thy hand upon us. Keep us well and healthy and safe. And undertake for us all. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.